You're listening to Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. If you're like me, watching sports is part of the soundtrack to your life. Remember Kirk Gibson's World Series home run?
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Kobe Bryant's last game as a Laker.
Give them one last gamer. Bryant on the move with the jumper.
Isn't that great when the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup a few years back? We'll get back to sports soon, hopefully. But for now, as we all shelter at home to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in LA, professional sports these days sound more like this.
I literally have a build right here. Like, you're so dumb. You're gonna get yourself killed.
That's Nate Hill, professional e-sports athlete, as in electronic sports. And his specialty is the widely popular online multiplayer game, Fortnite.
Gets hit for 100. Continues to push.
At any given time, thousands of people log on to the streaming service, Twitch, to watch Hill play the game live. He plays quick matches, enters tournaments, and interacts with his fans in real time. Recently, things have felt a bit different.
Daily, I get messages from people either donating or just in my chat watching that are saying, thank you so much for streaming. You're helping me get through my work from home or my doing nothing because they might have got laid off, unfortunately, because all the jobs are being closed down. But for me, my personal job hasn't changed too much. Because I basically stream from home, which is extremely lucky, and mainly in my house most of the time. But it has become a platform where I've been able to help during this as well.
Hill, along with the rest of the esports community, is acutely aware that for sports fans, this is really the only show in town right now. And if you ask folks in the gaming industry, they see this as a real, albeit bittersweet, opportunity for growth. KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb has been covering this story for us, and he's with us right now. Hi, Benjamin.
Hello, Steve.
What sort of growth has the gaming industry seen in the last few weeks with other sporting events canceled?
Well, it's no big surprise, Steve, that the numbers are way up. Now, they were already high. For example, if you take the game Fortnite, which Nate Hill plays, fans watched players like him play a total of 1.5 billion hours in 2018. Those numbers, of course, keep climbing, and they've gone up from there. And this makes sense if you ask someone like Arnold Herr. He's the COO of a gaming company called Gen G, which has offices here in Los Angeles, but also in Seoul and in Shanghai.
If you look at what Comcast just recently came out with, they said that streaming numbers were up 30, 40%. Game download numbers were up 50, 60%, with new game downloads being up 80%, right? So those numbers are skyrocketing. TV was only up 6 to 7%.
Those numbers tell us a lot. I mean, younger viewers are either trying streaming out or watching streamers more. And of course, the average fan skews younger, which has always been a problem for cultivating fans from older demographics. But Herr says something else is happening now. There's not really any other pro sport to watch except reruns. And so it's a real opportunity to cultivate some of the older fans.
For the first time, the parents and kids are stuck together, right? And a lot of those families where the kids maybe don't watch basketball or don't watch football or baseball are going to be watching sports or esports, right? Especially if it's on TV. And this is going to be a really important moment where that connection is made between, you know, the son or daughter that plays games and that watches gaming, as well as a parent that, like, knows about it but has never had an opportunity to engage with them or interact or, like, learn about this amazing sport.
And Steve, that's what sets esports athletes apart, especially those who are prolific streamers from the more traditional athletes. They are available for instant communication with their fans while they're playing.
So clearly, Benjamin, there's more opportunity to watch esports. You think this will generate more interest, though, in the athletes themselves as well? I mean, will they have, I don't know, the same star power as traditional professional athletes?
Well, they already do among young gamers and young game enthusiasts, and it does seem like that's growing. I mean, Nate Hill tells me he's connecting with his fans more as more of us are sheltering at home.
I just have been putting in more hours since all this started because I'm very aware that there are people at home that are probably bored out of their minds. And my stream is a place where they can come hang out for the entire day.
By the way, a lot of these esports pro athletes are really young. I mean, Hill is only 25 years old. And last year, his net worth was somewhere between $1 and $5 million. And he makes that money from people donating while watching him play on Twitch. Now, he also plays ads while he's streaming, and he makes money playing tournaments as well. Hill's employer is a gaming talent company called FaZe Clan, and they're seeing lots of interest in their athletes as we shelter at home. At least that's according to Lee Trink. He's the company's CEO.
We dropped a video about a new FaZe Clan member, has almost 400,000 views in a day. And a couple of days before that, we also signed another new member, FaZe Swag, who's in that video sitting at 600,000 views in a couple of days. So we're seeing a pretty nice uptick in the speed in which these videos are being consumed.
And all this makes sense, right? I mean, there's a strain on new content right now. TV and film production is on hold. There's no traditional sports that's really happening. And so there's just less out there for people to watch.
But I wonder, Benjamin, how much staying power this all has. I mean, yeah, we're all kind of meandering at home right now. Some of us are working from home, others are waiting to go back to work. But when everybody starts to emerge, and we will eventually, what happens then? Will there be staying power?
The gaming experts really hope so, but they're not really expecting a long-term change in the fans. Michael Pachter is an expert on the video game industry and is an analyst for the firm Webbush Securities. Here's what he told me.
I think the analogy is like eating at home as opposed to eating in a restaurant. Well, we don't have a choice to eat at a restaurant right now. So 100% of our food consumption is indoors. And, you know, is that going to last after the pandemic ends? No, we're going back to restaurants. So, you know, are we going to continue to consume as much entertainment in the home? No, we're going back out. So this isn't permanent. The one thing that could be lasting is that there are people who are going to get so bored they're going to actually decide that they've finished Netflix and they got to try something else, and they're going to try video games. And I think the potential to expand the market by 10% is pretty high.
The game changer, if you ask Pachter, is when there's a game out there developed specifically for the viewer. Right now, games like Call of Duty, Warzone, or Fortnite, for example, League of Legends, sure, they have huge followings, but really, it's people who play these games that enjoy watching them the most. When that changes, when games are designed with the viewer as the primary focus, that'll really move the needle.
As soon as we come up with a game that's really fun to watch, I think the market for viewing expands beyond the gamer market. And if you think about, you know, NFL football, how many people played football? Certainly not as many people as watch it. You know, that's become a cultural thing where, you know, we all grow up watching football and we like football because our dads like football and we did it together as a family. That's what we need on the gaming side. And we don't have that game yet, but it's coming.
For the streamers themselves, like Nate Hill, they're looking at this time a bit more aspirationally, a moment to connect with new fans.
I think it will have some staying power still for the new fans that maybe weren't there before, because it's always something that they remember. Like, this time is the weirdest time of the history of my life, I swear. I'm sure many people feel the same way. Like, nothing like this has ever happened before, and I think they'll look back at this time and be like, oh, I remember when I used to watch that streamer or video games. And I think they'll look at that fondly, as it may have helped them get through this time.
And, you know, we're also seeing professional athletes from traditional sports that are playing games right now and having their fans watch them. Just recently, Steve, 16 NBA stars took part in a virtual tournament on the game NBA 2K20. This is a basketball game, and it featured some of the biggest names in the sports, like Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell, among some others. And they played each other in a virtual NBA 2K20 tournament.
So you actually had professional basketball players playing one another on a video game.
That's right, a basketball video game. Many of them already played this game, and given these shelter-at-home orders, this is what sports leagues are turning to right now until they can get their players back on the court physically. The field, the ice hockey rink, you name it.
Still unclear exactly when that's going to happen, of course. The NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, all eyeing, gosh, mid-June right now, but the goalpost keeps moving, as it were. KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb with that report for us. Benjamin, thanks.
Anytime, Steve.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Back now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Parenting is tough at any time. Parenting through a worldwide pandemic, when schools are shut down and everyone's working from home, well, forget about it. But really, what do you do when you've got to work to keep your job, to pay the bills, and keep your kids fed and dressed and schooled? Oh yeah, because you're the teacher now, not to mention maintain your own sanity, try to keep the peace with your partner, do the shopping, the dishes, the laundry. Wipe down everything with wipes, wash your hands, shower yourself. There's so much to do at home now, and there's never any break. Let's find out. Four LA parents are with me right now. We're going to do an unlicensed group therapy session of sorts to hear the frustrations and the coping tactics and just really generally commiserate about the enormous pressures facing local moms and dads. So let me introduce them. Carla Nunez is the mom of two, a kindergartner and a fourth grader. Carla, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Stacey Wieran is the mom of a kindergartner herself. Hi, Stacey.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Matt Jordian, the dad of a two-year-old. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
All right. And Nicole Lanoy Lawson just had a baby. Can you believe that? A couple of months ago. She also has a 3- and 5-year-old, too. Hi, Nicole.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Carla, I want to start with you. You have a kindergartner and a fourth grader. I want to talk about how different your life is. Pre and post COVID-19, what's the transition to everyone being home been like?
I'd say it's been a big adjustment. Before we were just always on the move, whether it was out after school, traffic, and now it's home and trying to balance everything.
Nicole, I want to bring you into the conversation. You just had a baby 2 months ago. You have a 3- and 5-year-old as well. I assume that with an infant, you're barely sleeping. And now you're having to adjust going back to work, but work isn't the same as it was before. What does your average day look like?
It's crazy town over here. I'm not sleeping. Right now, for example, I'm kind of at my work computer. I've got a baby in my lap, a glass of wine in the other hand. I share my workspace with my 5-year-old, who was also trying to do homework in the same space. My 3-year-old runs around in his pull-up. it's a lot.
Matt, you have a toddler, a 2-year-old. How are you balancing dealing with a very young child and working as well? They don't call it the terrible twos for nothing, right?
Yeah, no, it's been an experience. It's an adjustment for sure. We actually are in a position where we use a nanny normally, and as we transitioned into working from home, my wife and I talked it over and decided that it would be best for us to keep our nanny with us. If we're home, our son is always vying for our attention. And if he knows we're around the house, he's kind of always chasing after us. So we have our nanny come through, and we kind of still play the same routine. Hey, we're going to work. And then we just sort of retire to the bedroom and work on the bed, elbow to elbow, my wife and I. But while we're also home and there is no, we're not dealing with the commuting and the additional things that were previously part of our day-to-day lives, we do get to spend a lot more time with him. You know, we're not getting ready for work. We're not showering in the morning. So that is a plus side to it.
Stacey, what about your home situation right now?
Well, yeah, it's been pretty brutal. I had a Zoom meeting the other day where my daughter decided to get undressed in the background. I'm a single mom, so I'm at home.
Oh, man.
I'm at home alone with a 5-year-old. And, you know, really, it's 3 full-time jobs. Parenting, homeschooling, and working are each a full-time job. So trying to juggle those all at once has been pretty intense. Right now I'm sitting in the middle of my daughter's tea party that she put all over the living room floor, but there's also a fort from last week that's still up and a tower. So it's just a mess.
You're obviously having to preoccupy, and you're doing this by yourself, by the way, right? You're at home by yourself with your kindergartner.
Yes, I'm at home by myself. My ex-husband does have some custody, but he is an essential worker, so I'm having to have her by myself most weekdays when I'm working.
And you're homeschooling her. So what is that like?
Well, I don't know that I'm really homeschooling her. I'm attempting to do it. You know, the hardest part really is the technology. It's logging on to all these different new apps, and it's things that as a 5-year-old she can't necessarily do on her own, so it becomes very frustrating very quickly.
Do you worry that all of these things, and I'll ask all of you this, but Stacey, I'll start with you, is this sustainable going forward?
No. I really worry for my mental health, and I worry for her too, because she's not really getting the attention that she needs. I'm really just trying to keep her occupied while I work and while I take Zoom calls. So in my mind, I feel like I could do another 2 weeks of this, but I just don't know if I can do any more. We'll have to see.
Carla, I'll bring you back in. What about you? You've got the kindergartner, but you also have a fourth grader as well, and you've got a husband at home who's helping, I presume, with a lot of this. Do you think this is something that can be done for weeks and weeks, perhaps even months on end?
I don't think so. I feel like it's a lot of sacrifices on everybody's end, and it's either I'm doing the work and he's with the kids, so his work and schooling takes the hit, or it would have to be vice versa. But yeah, you know, he's in school, so he's doing full-time online classes.
Oh, wow. Nicole, you know, new baby and a 3 and 5-year-old.
Yeah,
tell me, I mean are you going to be able to handle this for a while?
No, the answer is no. We're already having conversations. My husband, he's lucky to be on an administrative leave from his work due to COVID for a couple weeks. But when he goes back, I don't know how we're going to do. He's on a call. I'm on a call. My 5-year-old has Zoom class. The 3-year-old is regressing. He's de-evolving. I swear. He's starting to want to go
really
in the baby stroller. Yeah, he's talking less. He's because he misses his friends at school. And then the baby is just constantly being worn by either myself or my husband, and we're exhausted. Not to mention the house is a disaster. We're tired.
Matt, your child Jameson obviously is trying to adapt to this as well. What kind of disruptions have you seen as far as, you know, as parenting, you know, a young child?
Well, Jameson's got some neighborhood friends, so, you know, he goes on his daily walks and he'll see them, but obviously there's no contact. It'll be kind of a wave through the window, or, you know, he'll pass them as he's walking down the street. But he's kind of isolated. You know, he's just primarily spending all of his time with adults now. You know, he doesn't really gravitate towards devices. He doesn't get a lot of screen time. He's happy to be outside, and just walk and look at trees and plants. So there hasn't been a big sort of lash out or regression in that space, but I think he does miss the few friends that he's normally used to playing with on a daily basis.
Nicole, the same thing to you?
Well, so my 5-year-old, he's actually adjusting pretty well because he's a homebody anyway. So yeah, for the most part, he's doing okay, and he really
he was made for this moment, right?
Oh my gosh, he's living his best life right now. And, you know, he's stepped really into, you know, helping with the baby and keeping an eye on the baby. My 3-year-old, on the other hand, he wants to ride in the stroller as if he were a baby. And he's talking more baby-like. He will not potty train. He's just, you know, he's very cuddly. He's very needy. So my 3-year-old's having a very hard time. He's the extrovert. So this is rough for him.
There are a lot of extroverts who are really feeling it right now, children and adults alike. Stacey, as you mentioned, you're going through this divorce, which is challenging in its in and of its own right. You've also got an incredibly demanding job. How are you coordinating scheduling for work and then for your daughter as well? You're trying to, and homeschooling, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's been rough. She was supposed to have a Zoom call with her teacher yesterday at 11, and then it got switched to 11:40 at the last minute. And of course, I'd scheduled a work meeting for 11:30. And, you know, in normal day-to-day life, I'd be able to roll with that, but I burst into tears. I was just, I thought I'd scheduled my life well, and things just keep changing.
You had a moment.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had a moment yesterday. Yeah, so that's been tough, just to trying to work around her schedule and still get in all my work calls. So it's just been a lot of screen time for her. And that's really the only thing that will let me be on a work call is if she's watching a show. She won't stay on an app that's educational or anything like that. So, you know, it's just way more screen time watching shows than I would ever have her do in regular life.
I think about the days growing up. I grew up in the 70s and 80s where, you know, mom would fix us a bowl of Cap'n Crunch and plop us in front of the console TV. You know, that was screen time for us. And we turned out okay, right? There were moments too, even back then.
Yeah, that's true. I think we have to all give ourselves a break right now and throw those rules out the window.
That's certainly what a lot of therapists are saying. Be kind to yourself in a situation like this. Carla, I'm curious about the same for you because you're a social worker. Your husband is doing classes in school.
Yeah, I think that's what's been most helpful is like just seeking out support in any way. You know, whether it's my husband's or my friend or I feel so blessed to work at Family Service of Santa Monica, that they're just so supportive. And so all of the big feelings that I've been having here and at work, like I'm able to bring that into our supervision. And, you know, just the other day I was explaining how I have sense of guilt and sometimes shame because as a parent, you just have so many personalities and so many roles and hats that you wear. But then, you know, as a therapist, it's like you are this person that's always chipper and I work with kids. And I had sensed that my kids were so curious about like, who's this person my mom, you know, is over telehealth? Like, what is she doing? What are these games? And so those are like my own feelings that I kind of had to process, like, you know, what can I do in order to balance out the role that I have to do at work and the personality and like, you know, persona that I have? And then how can I share that and incorporate that with my kids as well.
Carla, I'll ask you this. Do you have any time for yourself to like be kinder to yourself to, you know, even if it's take a bath or go for a walk in the neighborhood or something like that?
I mean, as wonderful as that sounds, I think alone time looks like everybody's in bed and I'm staying up at midnight, 1-2 o'clock. And then, you know, the repercussions are in the morning.
Of course. We all have that as well. Nicole, same question to you. Any time to take care of yourself? You know, Calgon, take me away, whatever it may be.
I wish. I mean, if the kids aren't on me, then the baby's on me. So, you know, alone time is pretty much when I'm in bed going falling asleep, you know, which, yeah, this is hard. This is really hard.
Stacey?
Well, I guess that's the silver lining to divorce, that I do get a couple days on my own. But when I get a couple days to myself, I have to right now spend a lot of it just tidying up from the bomb that went off in the house during the week. But I do make time to like go for a bike ride by myself or go for a walk by myself. And that does really help my sanity.
Matt?
The alone time is just, it's kind of smattered, you know, a few minutes here, a few minutes there. You know, the best would be just kind of going out for a run and maybe get 20 minutes, half an hour to myself that way.
I want to do a rapid fire with all of you. And I'll start with you, Matt, since you just left off. What kind of advice do you give to other people who are listening to you right now in trying to deal with their own situations at home? Matt?
I mean, easier said than done, but just try and stay positive, you know, try and be thankful for the few moments that we have, the things that are working and the things that are consistent and stable. And, you know, we'll all get on the other side of this.
Carla?
Yeah, I would say my biggest advice would be just being really flexible with yourself, your family, being really kind, not taking this as a productivity competition, but really looking for how you can just work on your wellness, whether it's like positive growth mindset or, you know, practicing mindfulness, just being kind and flexible.
Nicole, that seems to be the theme. Try and take time out. Be kind to yourself. Same advice?
Yeah, be kind. Be patient with your children and your family. That's something that I'm working on. And, you know, give everybody a little bit of grace. Like, this is hard for everyone. And so, you know, we can't expect the world, right? We can all just try to get through it as best we can.
And Stacey?
I think, you know, there are many times in my day where I have to choose between work or parenting or homeschooling, and I'm trying to choose parenting, trying to choose that connection. And it's meant that I've dropped the ball a bit at work a few times, but, you know, I think that I have to really prioritize my daughter in certain moments. So just stopping and breathing with her and trying to connect has helped me.
I love this lens, by the way. I can't stand the fact that we have to do this to try and give everybody an idea of the hardship that's out there. But to be able to sort of peer into what you guys are having to deal with, which I'm sure mimics so many other households all across not only LA, but around the world as well. And I want to thank you for being with us, Carla and Matt and Nicole and Stacey. Thanks to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
And what about you? How's working from home or taking care of the kids, taking care of yourself? Maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you're just lonely at the moment. Tell us how you're doing. KCRW.com/GreaterLA. Subscribe to the podcast, too, while you're there. That's going to do it for us today. Next week, school is out and high school seniors are missing out on a lot. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Steve Chiatakis from our West LA Bureau. Thanks for your ears and time, and take care of yourself. Find some beauty today.